Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Let's start off this podcast with the salient data points over the past week, and then give the reasons why we have slightly reduced our long exposure in the portfolio. But first, retail sales increased by 0.5% month over month in July. The control group, which is the input into GDP, increased by the same amount, 0.5%. This figure was slightly less than what was expected by Wall Street. The report shows an anemic economy, but one that is not falling off a cliff by any means, at least not yet. Retail sales increased by 3.6% year over year. Now, keep in mind that this is a nominal number and it is not adjusted for inflation. Therefore, if you believe like me that prices have increased by more than 3.6% year over year, then you are also aware that consumer spending is falling in real terms. Turning to the real estate market, it continues to slide towards the edge of the cliff. There are now 511,000 new homes for sale in the United States. That is the highest number of new homes for sale, highest inventory since October of 2007, just prior to the start of the global financial crisis. U.S. bankruptcies are now at recessionary levels. Bankruptcies of large U.S. corporations hit 446 year-to-date. That is the most number of large corporate bankruptcies since 2010. The S&P 500's price-to-sales ratio is two times what it was in the bubblicious days of 2000. It's the highest it's ever been at 3.4. That's the price-to-sales. So if you don't like my favorite metric, which is the total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP, look at the price of the S&P 500 to the sales ratio. And it's at an all-time record high. The current bubble is being driven by individual investors. The divide between individual and professional investors has never been greater. Individual investors have put in a net of $190 billion into stocks this year, whereas institutional investors have been net sellers of stocks, a total of $40 billion year to date. Of course, it goes without saying, historically speaking, individual investors are the dumb money. The U.S. Producer Price Index for July increased by 0.9%, almost 1% month over month, and was up 3.3% year over year on the headline, with the core PPI up 3.7%. For comparison, the headline Producer Price Index for June increased by just 2.4%. So to be clear, producer prices have spiked from 2.4% year over year in the prior month's reading to 3.3% year over year July, and the core rate is 3.7% year over year. And in that context, we have the administration clamoring for a new rate cutting cycle of between 1.5% to 1.75%, which needs to begin with an emergency 50 basis point rate cut starting this September. Now, as my friend and former Office of Management and Budget Director David Stockman points out, wholesale prices have risen over 33% in the past 8 years, outpacing incomes. To even think about ramping up another rate cutting cycle now is utter madness. There are only two things that can happen when producer prices are rising at that rate, 3.7% in the core. Either producers must eat those rising prices, which means they're going to have shrinking profit margins, or they're going to pass the increase along to consumers. Of course, in reality, it'll be a combination of both. So for sure, this spike in producer prices is going to put even more pressure on an already eviscerated middle class whose purchasing power has been wiped out. Powell's highly anticipated Jackson Hole speech is happening this Friday. Wall Street has placed its bets that the Fed chair will acquiesce to the administration and follow through with at least a 25 basis point rate cut at the September FOMC meeting. This is supposed to happen even though the Fed has missed its 2% inflation target to the north over the past 51 consecutive months. We also have one of the lowest unemployment rates in history. Stock prices are near record high. We have record tight credit spreads, spiking producer prices, elevated consumer prices, and a soaring prices paid index of 69.9 in the ISM services survey, which is the highest level since October of 2022. And on top of all this, we have corporate earnings and margins at a record high, and the Atlanta Fed GDP has the growth at 2.5% at a seasonally adjusted annualized rate in Q3. So in truth, given all of the data concerning inflation that I just mentioned, you can make a very cogent argument to raise interest rates rather than cut them. However, given the weakening in the labor market, one could also argue there's a good enough reason to keep rates exactly where they are. But the notion of starting another rate cutting cycle that starts off with a 50% emergency cut is beyond ridiculous. Hence, there is an awful amount of, immense amount of anticipation over Powell's Jackson Hole speech this Friday. And that could be one of the catalysts for a stock market correction. And let me give you five reasons why I believe a correction isn't baked in the cake. It's not definitely going to happen in the next few weeks, but the odds are highly elevated that one could happen in the next few days. And I'll list them for you. The Fed refuses to increase liquidity and lower borrowing costs in the money markets come to September simply because inflation is just too high for all the things I just mentioned. He tips his hand to this view on Friday at his Jackson Hole speech. That's one. Number two, the seasonality of September has proven to be a period where liquidity normally runs very scarce. That's two. The reverse repo facility, which I have been talking about over the past 2 years, has finally hit the zero-bound range. It is now effectively empty. It's done. And that's down from $2.5 trillion down to like $20 billion, nothing. It was 2.5 at its peak in 2022. So just so in case you don't remember what I said, the reverse repo facility is the superfluous liquidity that was held by banks. They parked that excess liquidity at the Fed, which earned them interest. Over the past 3 years, this money poured out of the Federal Reserve. It was laying fallow at the Fed. It poured into treasuries, which went into the economy. It fueled the financial system and blew up asset bubbles with all this new credit. That function is now over. Number four, the stock market is grossly overvalued, like we just talked about. It's off the charts and due for a fall. And finally, the fifth reason is that, and this is the most important reason, the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model indicates that a correction is likely over the next few weeks. However, it has yet to point to a substantial and protracted decline. Therefore, for now, the potential correction should be an opportunity to rebuy what we have sold this week. So we just trimmed some of the risk out of the portfolio for those five reasons. One last point that I try to hammer home to my audience often. The Fed controls the short end of the yield curve, primarily. The long end is concerned with solvency of the United States and inflation. And the Fed is far less influential when it comes to duration. That means Powell, or whomever Trump puts at the Fed come May of next year, can lower rates even substantially. And yet long-term yields may spike, just like they did in 2024. It was a mistake to cut then. It's even more of a mistake to cut now. And spiking long-term rates will cause mortgage and corporate borrowing costs to surge. That would be game over for the economy and the market. As ever, we will closely monitor the components of the model each day to keep us prepared for opportunities and steer us away from danger.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.